This one I had a tagline for. It's okay. Not imaginative.
Is it 2012?
It is 2012, yes. What's up? This is Movies On Up. How would the governments of our planet prepare 6 billion people for the end of the world? ? They wouldn't. Period. I guess that's a tagline. A tagline can be more than one sentence. But that is our tagline for this week. Seated across from me, forming the bicameral arm to this government, is Mr. Dave Bissella.
The Cusack to your John?
Yes, exactly. I was trying to think of somebody else that was in that movie. I was like, okay.
I don't know who was in
that. Yeah, I don't either. Amanda Peet. And okay. Chewie. I'll go the Amanda Peet. You can be the John Cusack. Together, we are Movies On Up. That tagline that I just read.
It's too long. It's 2012.
Yeah, whatever. It is 2012.
It's the tagline to 2012.
So, for starters, happy Halloween month. And if you're wondering why we have chosen the tagline for 2012, it is because, as Dave mentioned last week, for this month, we're going to basically do 2 episodes a week. One episode is going to be a horror list of our 5 favorite horror movies from each year of the podcast starting in 2012, and a movie. This week, our
this
movie
year
is
2012 and 2013. Next week starts the...
Oh, next week starts the movies. Okay, I don't know.
There's 5 weeks in October. Every year, for some reason, there always ends up being 5 weeks in October, essentially. So
that means I have to do 10 episodes.
Yeah, so 6 years ago, when it's like, oh, October's cool, we should do 2 episodes a week, it's backfired every year because it ends up being like, oh, we're doing 10 episodes, and they're short, though.
Yeah, they're short for you guys. Our movie starts next week, and that... Goosebumps, Halloween, Suspiria, and It?
Yeah.
Okay, those are the 4 movies. Of that, I am certain. We're going to do the years 2012, 13, 14, 15,
16, and 17.
Okay. There you have it. 2 lists this week, and then a list and a movie every week from there on out. That's mostly for my benefit, not yours, just so I know what the hell's going on.
Because every year for Halloween, we started years ago where it's like, okay, we're going to do 2 episodes a week because we like horror movies.
Yes.
So it's our opportunity. But this would be our, 7th Halloween. We've done so many movies, and we've done so many lists. We did the director thing the 1 year. Last year, we counted down our top, 50 horror
movies? Something like that, yeah.
Of all time. So, I mean, we try to mix it up, and this year, I just figured every year that we've done the show, because we watch a lot of horror movies, they don't always make our year-end list. They don't always get mentioned. So this gives us a chance to kind of talk about some that maybe are too new that we didn't bring up last year in our top of all time. And just movies that we haven't really talked about yet that may be worth a watch. And usually we do a, hey, watch these movies episode every October, but this is essentially that. So these are all movies from the last 6 years. Seek them out. Find them. A lot of them are watchable. streamable or whatever.
Right, yeah,
so.
You could find them. I hope that the bar is set a little bit higher than watchable. But Dave, what is your 5th most watchable horror movie from the year of our Lord 2012?
It's a great segue because it's a movie that I don't necessarily like a lot, but it did kick off a horror franchise. It does have its moments. It is from 2012.
I hope so.
Directed by a bunch of directed by a bunch of people. It's VHS. We were kind of hyped about this coming out because some of the directors involved we were really, really into. We like Creepshow, Tales from the Hood, Tales from the Dark Side, Tales from
anthology
the Crypt.
Horror stuff. Yeah,
anthology horror. I think we did a whole episode about our favorite, not anthology movies, our specific favorite anthology segments. So we're all on board for a modern horror anthology series. And you had some really good directors in here. And the premise, it was okay. Not unique. It's capitalizing on the found footage stuff. And, you know, maybe it would have been better if they weren't pigeonholed into that. But it gave them something to work with. And there's, 3 of them now or 4 of them?
There's VHS, SVHS.
Viral.
Yeah, VHS Viral. Yeah, so I think at least 3.
Okay. And each of them have one that's probably really good and a couple that are okay. It's bad because I did put this as number 5 and I put it on here just to kind of represent the year because it is relevant. If you're a horror fan, you've seen these movies. It kicked off, ABC's of Death?
Yeah.
XX. Yeah. Like, there was that Road one that kind of reinvigorated, not mainstream studio movie anthologies, but it kind of reinvigorated that genre.
And this is also my number 5. And you had mentioned the horror anthology movies, but you've also got TV shows, Channel Zero. They do a different creepypasta every year. You've got their rebooting Twilight Zone with Jordan Peele. It's certainly kind of back relevant. And I think a lot of that does come from VHS. And you mentioned some of the directors. I mean, Ty West was maybe the biggest name in indie horror at that time. I mean,
he was one that we had high hopes for.
Yeah, Ty West, Adam Wingard, Joe Swanberg. These are guys that we may even talk about later on down the list. But I think we were very excited to see what they were all going to be able to kind of come together and do. And, you know, for what it's worth, I thought West's Second Honeymoon is maybe that story for me that's really good off this one. Although kind of when I go back and, because it's been a while since I've seen VHS, it's almost like a Creepshow 2 thing. Well,
I don't
where
remember,
does each one belong?
Yeah, because I remember the demon one.
Yeah.
It starts off as a cult one, and then there's this ridiculous demon at the end. I think that's SVHS, but I don't remember. That's probably
the skateboard one?
I don't remember.
Because that might even be viral. The Second Honeymoon is the one. Most of these in VHS were more like monster creature feature type stuff. There's the glasses one. Which
Swanberg one. Which
I didn't mind.
Yeah.
But this one is the one about the couple that vacationing. They visit the fortune teller. And it really takes a sharp left at the end of it. But I liked it a lot. I like those directors. Like you said, it's... We both like horror anthology movies. I think we expected more from this, but I still think it's the best of the series, and it's absolutely at least my fifth favorite from 2012.
Even the Nacho one, the Nacho Villagrande one from, I think that might have been
that
viral.
Might have been the one I'm thinking of, yeah.
That one, it's terrible, but it's impressionable. Like, it's a cool concept that just goes off the rails. My number four, it's kind of hard to classify as a horror movie. Because it's also a comedy, but it'd be hard to classify as a comedy. It'd be hard to classify as a sci-fi movie because it's a mix of everything. It's Don Coscarelli, classic horror director. John dies at the end. It's a hard movie to make, but he pulled it off. It's a fun time. You know, a lot of times with horror, like, you know, I wouldn't consider the Nightmare on Elm Street movies like a fun time. Like, they're fun to watch, but they're not like a rollicking good time.
I mean, in the end, they get a little more campy.
Yeah, yeah. But like, this is just... fun. Chase Williamson, Rob Mays, their chemistry is great. It's just a fun movie. It's hard to explain because it's different. It's unique. It's a really, really weird movie that if you want to just go on a ride, it's the equivalent of just jumping in your car and just blaring the music and driving with no destination. It's a blast. You don't know where you're going to go. But by the time you get home, you had a hell of a time. That's John Dies at the end.
To me, it seems like this is... like all the horror-ish kind of shows that are on like the CW or whatever, it feels like that. Never seen an episode of Supernatural. I don't even know what channel that airs on, but I feel like, oh, it's probably like this, which means I'd probably like it. But
I mean, I've never seen Supernatural either, but I guess there's a goofy element to it.
Yeah.
And this was goofy. Maybe this is Supernatural for movie fans.
Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, it's just bonkers.
We'll make that statement with not having anything to back it up.
I can't wait to dub something The Innocence of Movies and The Vampire Diaries of Movies.
My number four would certainly not be turned into a show on the CW, and it's not funny at all. It was a movie that I had a bit of trepidation when it was announced that Frank Calhoun was going to remake Maniac and have Elijah Wood as the titular Maniac, starring opposite Nora Alexander. West, Wingard, and a couple guys that we're going to mention later have turned out some really good small-budget horror movies. Maniac, the screenplay was done by Alexander Aja, who's a guy that certainly fits in that same pantheon with those guys. He wrote the screenplay for this reimagining of William Lustig's 1980s slasher. But this time around, I think it's much more of a character piece. It's not to say that, you know, if you're a fan of slashers or seeing some odd things on the screen that you're going to be disappointed, because it certainly has all the gore that you want. But it is much more a cerebral look at, rather than seeing what this maniac does, it's kind of like more what makes him tick. And then you can see what he does too. So you're just kind of drug along, kicking and screaming down this psycho road. And Elijah Wood's super creepy. That's a thing he can do. And he did it well in Maniac.
I'm a sucker for, like, this is going to be a thread throughout. There's a few movies that fit this bill. If you could take a dumb idea and play it serious enough to where it's not a sci-fi movie, but still not lose track of what you're doing, I'm a sucker for it. I'm also a sucker for shark movies, and I love grocery shopping. So if you put
sharks in a grocery store,
like 2012's Bait, directed by Kimball Randall, did, I'm in. It's a tsunami. These characters get trapped in a grocery store. It floods. 12-foot great white sharks join them in the grocery store. So it's literally a shark movie in a grocery store, and that's the easiest way to sum it up. It didn't play as campy as you would expect. I reckon it to something like maybe Donkey Punch, which, like, that premise is stupid. The name is stupid, but there's enough there. They did enough with the premise to give it, like, the characters are okay. The performances are solid. They did some cool stuff. Like, they played with the setting without getting too ridiculous on it. It's a fun time. It's not a great movie. It's the Deep Blue Sea of grocery store shark movies, I think. I'm not going to claim it's a great movie, but it's fun to watch.
It's one of those ones that it feels like it should perpetually be playing on like a Saturday afternoon on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Exactly.
Not just because of the sharks thing, but because it is rather ridiculous. But it's an easy watch. You're not going to find yourself too engaged, but it's fun, at least. And my number three is also fun. I would say it does lean more on the sci-fi. We don't have sharks, but we have aliens. In Joe Wright's Grabbers, starring Killian Coyle, Stuart Graham, and Michael Hoge. It's fun. I mean, it is stupid fun. You know, it takes that sub-horror genre of trying to survive the night, whether it's, you know, Night of the Living Dead, where you're just trying to survive the night being besieged by zombies. These folks are basically in a bar trying to figure out and survive this alien invasion, and it turns out the only way to not get eaten by these aliens is to be drunk because their bodies can't.
What country did this movie come from?
I believe it was Ireland. Yeah. if there's one thing they know about, it's drinking. And they put two things that they like together in a movie, and I can dig that. There is nothing life-changing about this movie. It's just a lot of fun.
This was one of my also-rans. It's exactly what you said. People trapped in a bar. The only way to not get eaten by aliens is to stay drunk.
Not that they weren't doing that anyway, yeah. But it just turns out, oh, hey, this works.
That's the premise. Like, it's that simple. My number two, I wouldn't say it's fun. I would say scarring, terrifying, hard to watch. From
when 2012.
You, when you think of, well, no, from a director.
From a guy you don't think of as a horror director.
Yeah, exactly. When I say Barry Levinson, you don't really think like, oh, the great horror director, Barry Levinson.
Right.
No, it is The Bay. It's found footage technically, but it doesn't fall into that trope of like, put the damn camera down, because it uses a bunch of different footage. It's not from one person's point of view, and it's terrifying. It's just the shrimp or whatever.
It's crab or something.
Yeah,
I think it's in
infested,
Baltimore.
And a little like town on the bay gets infected, and people are getting like eaten from the inside out. It's gross. I love this movie. I have seen it once, and that's enough. I will tell anybody, yeah, check out The Bay. The Bay is a great movie.
Don't watch
it. I'm not
going to
watch
it
with you. Yeah. I'm not going to watch it with you. Don't watch it after Shellfish. Is that something people eat? I don't know. I don't do seafood. I didn't do seafood before this. Definitely not doing seafood after this. It's cool. It's unique. Like, it's different how he played with the different genres. Like, it's a different kind of Outbreak movie.
Right.
Because he turns it into a horror movie. Where, like, Outbreak, and I'm just trying to think of the other recent one that's blanking me right now. But, like,
Contagion.
Contagion. Yeah. Like, he turns those into horror movies. And, like, straight up horror movies. Not the horror element. Like, it's a horror movie. He takes the found footage and he mixes it up a lot, and it's more surveillance than just first person. Kristen Connolly shows up. She's really good. It's a good movie. I mean, Levinson's a great director, and he's outside his wheelhouse here, and he nails it. This was streaming for the longest time. I don't know if it still is, but if you can catch The Bay, watch The Bay, because it's terrifying.
We may have got our ones and twos flipped on this, but I'm going to make The Bay my number two just so we don't have to jump back and forth so quickly. Of all the movies from 2012, this one sticks with me the most because it is viscerally, it will leave scars on you. Dave is not a fan of the found footage genre at all. I mean, despite the fact we've technically have two on our list from this year, this is one of the ones that absolutely does it right. It is research footage you see from the folks actually testing the shellfish, and then you see surveillance footage from in the city when the team goes in to
try dash cam.
Yeah.
Like, there's it he plays with it.
Yeah, it makes an impression. That makes it worthy of a high place on the list. And I do think that some of the other names that we're going to mention are names that are more synonymous with horror. But Barry Levinson is just a very good filmmaker. And he made an excellent, I think criminally underseen, but an excellent horror movie. And I was happy to put it on my list.
Oh, absolutely. And number one, that's why these episodes are going to be short. We're limiting it to a year, so we're going to have a lot of crossover. So, like, on these, I could kind of tell, like, oh, Ryan's going to have this and this and this. And normally we'd leave it off so the other one could talk about it. But when you only have two also-rans, there's no way I'm leaving Drew Goddard's Cabin in the Woods off, starring Chris Hemsworth, Kristen Connolly, Fran Kranz, Anna Hutchinson, Jesse Williams,
Richard Jenkins,
Bradley Whitford, Amy Acker. This is one of those, it bombed. It didn't do it because you can't market this movie. It's a send-up of horror movies that take place in the cabin in the woods. I have mentioned numerous times, if you can sum up a movie like a bunch of people show up to a dinner party, I'm in because you can go so many places from there. And with horror movies, when it's like, oh, a bunch of people are in a cabin in the woods, you would think you can go a lot of places with there, but most of them go the same places, except this movie. But if you know where it's going, it eliminates the ride. It's a different movie. I love it. It's ambitious. Bradley Whitford and Richard Jenkins are great. I love the banter between them. The cast is great. This is a young Hemsworth. This is filmed before anything he blew up for. Like, he was kind of becoming a name at this point, but
Joss,
he went cast as Thor at this
right.
point.
Whedon had co-wrote the script with Goddard, so he was on the set, and he said to Hemsworth at some point, why aren't you up for Thor? And then the next thing you know, he is Thor.
Well, it's funny because his brother was up for Thor.
Well, yeah, you know, right place, right time. They ended up getting the right guy there. Goddard's a guy we talked about last week. Bad Times at El Royale comes out. I think he's worked with Joss and JJ.
Yeah, the dude is a writer, has a hell of a resume.
Chances are, even if you don't know the name, you know something that he's done. This is one that, like Dave mentioned, bombed, so I think people that are genre fans have seen it. I mean, it's a spoof of Cabin in the Woods movies, but it's done incredibly well. The Scary Movie, Vampires Suck, and all that, those are spoofs, but they're not done to the level that this is. Like Dave said, we really can't tell you necessarily where the movie goes, because even if we wanted to, you probably wouldn't believe us anyway. It's an original concept in that they're lampooning a subgenre of horror, but they do it in a way that's uniquely theirs and really funny, really violent, really cool creatures. It's just, it is a fun watch.
And I mean, if you go into it thinking, okay, it's a movie about kids going to a cabin in the woods, it's that, but know that you're going to get a different payoff than you get in the other movies like that. But if you haven't seen it, watch it. Like, yeah. It's a six-year-old movie. It we don't want to talk about the end too much because, yeah, okay, 6 years, we're beyond spoiler alert. But it's a movie we genuinely enjoy, and I don't know anybody that enjoys horror that's watched it and not really liked it. At the very least, it's an entertaining watch. So if you're looking for a horror movie this season and you haven't seen Cabin in the Woods, watch it, because it's definitely a horror movie people should see.
I don't think I really had too many also-rans. Picking five out of 1 year, there's more than five horror movies between studio and indie stuff that come out, so it's not hard to find five. It's not even hard to find five that you like, but I was pretty solid on those five. The ones that made your list but didn't make mine, I like them too. I mean, I could probably just do a list of every horror movie I saw that year and just talk about them, because we like them. This list, on the one hand, is hard to make because we can only pick five. But on the other hand, like, I like everything. So if I didn't talk about it and I saw it, yeah, it's probably an also-ran.
Yeah, see, the only one I had Grabbers, and I had Storage 24, which is a British one. A bunch of people get trapped in one of those storage facilities with a monster. That's it. It has Noel Clark in it, who I really like, and it's it, but that's it. Later this week.
Yes.
2 days from now.
Is next year.
We're coming back. With, yeah, 2013. So these episodes are going to have a lot of crossover, and that's fine. I'm excited to do it. I'm excited for October. Hopefully you are too. If we missed anything from 2012 that you like, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com.
Yeah, if you want to send, even if you don't do every year, if there's a particular year that you really liked, that Grabber
like
do.
Doing this?
Yeah, let us know.
2016. Hell of a year. Did not know that. When I think back, like, it doesn't stick out as like, oh, 2016 was a great year for horror. Till doing this list, it's like, holy hell, 2016 was a great year for horror. Was 2013? Find out in a couple days. Until then,
keep it up.